Okay, we're going to begin five lines down on Tetzayin Amud Aleph. Yipay Lahu. Ain Shem Afar, Ma'ush Yitain Eifer. So we discussed earlier about the Afar that you need for the Mesotah, that is taken out of the Karkar Mishkan or out of the Beit HaMikdash from underneath the stone. And if there is no Afar there, you can place the Afar there in order to be Mekadeshit and use it for the Afar Sotah. Now, the Gemara wants to know, what about Eifer? What about ashes? If you place ashes there on the Karkar Mishkan or in the Beit HaMikdash underneath the stone, is that Mekadeshit and can use the Eifer? What's the Gemara's question? Well, we find in other places that Eifer is called Afar. And where is that? That's by Para Aduma. By Para Aduma says, Afar Tzrefat HaPara. So even though we know by the Tzrefat HaPara, the burning of the Para turns it into ashes, and yet the Torah still calls it Afar. So Aliba the Beit Shammai, thereby Para, Beit Shammai has a position, Losi Bayalach, you have no question here, Darmei Lo Masino Eifer Shekroi Afar. They say that Eifer and Afar are not interchangeable terms. And when it says afar by the para, it says afar srifat hapara. Only there it's modified. Afar is modified by srifat hapara. And afar is called afar srifat hapara, but it's not called afar stam. So since the words are not interchangeable over here, therefore afar will not qualify to be used for afar sota. He's bibailah khalib the Beitel. Beitel, on the other hand, disagrees and says, Dari matzino afar shakaroy afar. They believe by the afar srifat hapara that it's called afar. And since it's called afar, and therefore, Eifer might qualify to also be Afar Sota. So, what's the din? Even though in general Eifer can be called Afar, but nevertheless, over here, there's a requirement of Karkaha Mishkan. And since with this extraneous term of Karkaha Mishkan, would say only from Karkaha Mishkan, which would be dirt and not Eifer. Or no, maybe the Karka Mishkan, that qualifier of Karka Mishkan, or extraneous words in the pasuk of Karka Mishkan, come from the Limudim that we had yesterday for Isi ben Yehuda and Isi ben Menachem. So that one was, Isi ben Yehuda said that it was the Habi, Karka Shel Shiloh Gov Nivon, Givon and Beit Olamim. Again, depending on the Girsa for Rashi and so forth. And Isi ben Menachem said that Karka Mishkan, that you can't bring it in from a basket, but you have to take it out literally from the Karka Mishkan. You have to place it there first. So again, if that's what you use Karka Mishkan for, maybe Afar will qualify to be used for Afar. So now the Gemara says, Tashma, let me bring you a proof. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Ishmael, that Mishloshim HaKamot Halakha Okevet Mikra HaTorah. There are three places where the Halakha Lemoshi Misinai undermines the Pshat of the Pasuk. Amra, so what are these places? This is by Afar, this is by Kisui Hadam. By Kisui Hadam it says that you use Afar, you have to use dirt to cover over the Dam of a Chayah, the Dam of an Oaf, and it says the Chisau be Afar. Be Halacha, and Halacha Melch Messina is Bechol Davar, right? That the, you can use anything you want to cover, not anything literally, but anything that is Megadel Tzmachim, anything in which plants can grow is qualified to use for Kisui Hadam. So despite the fact that the pasuk says b'chisau be'afar, nevertheless, the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai says not just afar, but any other item. Amra b'tar by nazir, it says that ta'ar lo yavor arosho. He's not allowed to cut his head with a razor. Ba'alocha, the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai is b'chol davar. Meaning that anything, that he's not allowed to cut his hair in any way, not just with a razor, but with any item, he's not allowed to cut his hair. So again, then the last case is b'hatara amra sefer by get or by girushin. So it says the cut of law sefer kritut, that you have to write for a sefer, and sefer would usually imply something that's on cloth that has sirtut. Nevertheless, the halacha is b'chol davar, that you can use anything to write the get on as long as it's not moving and it's available to write on, you can use it for ktivat haget. So again, here in these three instances, you see what? You have a poshup shot in the pasuk, and yet the halacha l'moshe mitzinai comes and says no, that we learn something different. V'mi'ito, in our case, if we said that Afar qualifies to be for the Afar Suta, lechshov dami, hi, let us include that in our list here, because the Torah says that he has to use Afar Suta, and nevertheless we say it qualifies, even Afar is qualified. If that's the case, then Halacha L'moshe Mitzinai again is okay, the Pashuk Shad of the Pasuk. So one says, well, you have no proof from here, because Tana B'Shir, this Tana, it was not an exhaustive list, he left things, items off the list. Umay Shir. What did he lift off? The high shear. He left off this item, the shear, Mitzorah. He left off Mitzorah. The Tanya. What do we have by Mitzorah? Vayom, Vayom, Ashvi, Galach, Es, Kol, Se'aro, Klaf. So the Mitzorah, we know, gets a haircut twice, meaning he has to shave his body twice. Once when he first completes the process, or begins the process of Tara, when he brings the two birds, and he does the begins the process of Tara to Mitzvah, at that point he takes a full shave. And again, 7 days later, before at the end of his 7 days of the Tara process, he shaves himself again. So now, on the first set of first time he shaves, it says, Megaleach is called Se'aro. Just says, Sam, that he cuts his whole body. There it sounds, he cleans his body, takes his body and shaves it clean. Then, on the Yom HaShvi'i, on the seventh day, there's another pasuk. Where's the pasuk? Say, Vayar, Yom HaShvi'i, Galech, Ez Kol Se'aro, Klav. Et Rosho, Ve'ez Zekano, Ve'ez Gabot Einav. And then it's Mefaresh, that his head, his beard, and his eyebrows, Paras, Ez Kol Se'aro, and all his body, Galeach, Chazaro Klav. So now you have a Klav, Uprat, a Klav, Yad Da'adan, Elokeina Paras. Then what is qualified for Kol Se'aro is only things like the Paras. Maprat Mufurash Makom Kinu Seyar is a place where there's a lot of hair together. Vinira, and it's visible. Afko Makom Kinu Seyar Vinira. Also, any place that has a collection of hair and is visible. Ma Rabbi, what does it include? Rabbi Seyar Aglaim includes the hair of the legs. And Rashi says that is a Lashon Ma'al Yosa, but really means pubic hair. Ma Miyet, Miyet, the Beter Shechi, and it excludes that which is found under the arm. And the rest of his body. That even in the second cutting, at the end of the seventh day, he has a clean shave, like a gourd, meaning he shaved everything on his body, not just that which is limited by the klal u'pratul klal. We have a Mishnah, that this is the first shave of the Mitzorah. It says that you put a tower in your razor and you cut his whole body. So the second cutting is like the first cutting, and just like the first cutting, we shave everything without exception. So too, the Mishnah says we cut on the second cutting on Yom HaShvi'i everything without an exception. And if that's the case, then we just have the Klal U'Pratul Klal, and the Klal U'Pratul Klal taught us that you only shave certain locations. So here again, you have a pasuk, and you have Halacha L'Moshe Mitzina, but comes and undermines the pasuk. So remember, Nachum Yitzchak, what do you? That's not true. Kika Chashiv Halacha Kevet Mikra. The list that we had above of the three items was items where the halacha l'moshe Mitzina undermines the pasuk pshat and the pasuk. Over here, kikach chashiv, what over here, the case of ha'okevet, is okevet midrabanon hi. Here, the akiva, or the undermining, is a drasha midrabanon, a klal, a klal, uprat, uklal. You have the drasha out of the pasuk, and then that drasha we're saying that the halacha l'moshe Mitzina comes and undermines it. The fact that it calls a klal uprat uklal, a dirabonon is interesting because this goes against what the Ramban says in Shor Sheni when he argues on the Rambam and says that klal upratu klal, or anything that's learned from the Shlosh Yisrei Midos, is actually d'oraisa. It's never termed as dirabonon, and it's never termed as divrei sofri. And yet over here, the Gemara calls it midirabonon. So if you look in the Maariv Chiyus, Rabbi David pointed out to me, if you look in the Maariv Chiyus back here, he asks this question. He says, his answer is that actually it's a ta'u sofer here, that it should not really read midrabanan, but it actually read mem dalet resh with a slash on it. And it really should have said ha'okevet midrash hi, and that there was a abbreviation of mem dalet resh slash, and it really meant midrash hi. And the printers, when they came ahead and they wrote it, they wrote midrabanan instead. When they expanded the abbreviation, they wrote midrabanan instead of midrash. And therefore, it's incorrect. It really should read the Gemara should read Kikach Shavalach Okevet Mikra Haokevet Midrash. Again, that's a difficult answer only because it's really squeezing to say that there is a Tau Sofer here. What I could say, what my suggestion is that many times, or not many times, but other places, the Gemara also makes such comparisons, Midoraiso, Midorabanon. We have it, for instance, in the Gemara in Moed Katan. The Gemara says there that Avelus is Midorabanon, Cholomoed is Midoraiso. Yet, so as Tosfos points out there, and you have the Ramban himself over there, mentions that when we compare it, Chol HaMoed may not necessarily be De'oraisa. Ah, why does Gemara call it Mide'oraisa? I mean, that's a relative term. I mean, compared to Avelus, which is completely Mide'rabonon, Chol HaMoed might have an Asmachta, or might have a Makor Mide'oraisa. So when you compare things on relative basis, you say something is Mide'oraisa, Mide'rabonon. Also over here, possibility is that not that klal pratu klal, that something that's darshan from them is midir abonon, but in comparison or relative to something that comes out of the pasuk, that's on a lower level. So you're comparing two doraisas. So how do you differentiate between two doraisas? One is a doraisa that's mi mikra. One's doraisa midir abonon, mean that someone darshaned it mi klal upratu klal. All right, continuing on, other possibilities of answers why this mitzvah is not left out of the price. It's really not a left out. Here we said it's really not left out because it's okevet midir abonon. And we're talking about here, we're talking about halachas that undermine the pasuk and are okay the pasuk. How could Kevin Mosefet he by Mitzora, it doesn't undermine it. When he shaves his whole body, he doesn't do anything wrong. He's just shaving more than that's required by the drasha. So it's adding on, not undermining it. And then over here, there's actually in the Rashi, Rashi asks the same thing by Mitzora. Why don't we say the same thing by Mitzora? By Mitzora, you have a tar, lo yavor arosho. You cannot shave with a razor. And then the halacha Moshe Mitzina comes and expands it to anything cutting his hair. So why don't we say there also that that is Mosefet? By the other two cases of Kisui Afar and Sefer Pitu, those are positive commandments telling you to do something in a certain manner. When you don't do it in that manner, then you are okay the halacha that's written in the Torah. But by our case here, by Mitzora, which they are a case where he's shaving a certain amount and then he shaves more, then he's not okay. He's doing more than is required of him. Same thing by the tar. By the tar of the Nazir, it says do not cut with a tar. If you do not cut with other things also, you've also been Mekayin, you're being Mosif. You're not being Okevit. So Rashi gives two possibilities over here. First of all, he brings Yerushalmi that takes actually tar, he takes Nazir out of the three here, and as in Marseya, as in the case of an Evid Ivri who wants to stay until the Yovel, he has to get his ear pierced through the doorway in order to stay. And there it says that he has to use a Marseya to cut his ear. And then the Gemara in Kedushin says is Marabe other items. So that's the case of Okevet. There we have Alok HaMashisai, even though the Pashuk part of himself is Pashuk, is that he has to use a Marseya. Nevertheless, he can use other tools or other items, metallic items, to do it. So there is Alok Okevet. Rashi gives a second answer that it's still Okevet, because in this case we're going to give Malkus, meaning that if he cuts his hair, even without a tar, he's going to get Malkus for that, according to the Deo Deda Merabeh. If he's going to get Malkus for that, then we are being Oker Dabar Torah, because you're not allowed to give Malkus without a reason to a person. All right, now we will continue the next answer of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi Amar, Hamas Nisman Mani. Again, the Torah is not really left out of the list because of the difference. We have the Brisa of Rabbi Shmuel and we have the Mishnah, and they're actually authored by two different people. Why is that? Because Rav Ashi Amar, Hamas Nisman Mani, Rabbi Shmuel. The Brisa that we're talking about is Rabbi Shmuel, the Darish Kolei Uprate. Rabbi Shmuel learned klal u'prat u'klal. He uses that drasha because he learned by Chunim and Akano, and therefore he learns the whole Torah in klal u'prat u'klal. And when you learn klal u'prat u'klal, that limits what you have to cut on the seventh day. On the other hand, kidalat, the one who says that you have to get a cut, or that you have to get a galeach kidalat based on the Mishnah, that is not authored by Rabbi Shmuel. That is authored by Rabbi Akiva. Kitzlat Mani Rabbi Kivi, the Darshi Ribuya Mute. Rabbi Kivi learned by Noshav Nachamish Gamzu, Dorish, the whole Torah Kula, in Ribuy Mute, in Ribuy. And when you Darshi Ribuy Mute, the Ribuy, that's the conclusion you came out. The Tanya, by Yabba Yomashmi, Alech, has Kosar Ro, Riba. Edo Shobet, Kanovet, Gobotinav, Miet, Vet Kosar, Yigaleach, Hazar, Riba. Riba, Miyot, Riba, when you use the principles of Riba, Miyot, Miyot, what do you have? Riba, Kol, include everything, means you have to shave everything. My Riba, Riba, Techule, Gufe, that means all the hair on his body. Oh, my Miyot, when you do Riba, Miyot, Miyot, Riba, you include everything, and you just made one little thing. And what's that little thing? Made Sar, Shbeto, Chachol, Sam, you don't have to cut off his nose hairs. Inside of his nose, you don't have to cut off those hairs. So how do we reconcile the fact that the Mitzvah is left out of the list? Maybe it's not a problem being left out of the list because we're talking about two different authors. We're talking about the one author who says that on the seventh day that you only cut a limited amount of hair. That's Rabbi Shmuel's Darshan Kal Pratukhla. The Mishnah, which implies that on the seventh day you cut everything, that's Rabbi Akiva, who's Dorish, the Riboy, Miyot, the Riboy. So the two are not necessarily arguing or not necessarily undermining each other because they're two different opinions. Now the Gemara says, my Haviolo. So what's the conclusion here? Meaning that, what is the din of Afer? Tashma, Damar Avuna Barvashi Amarav, Ein Sham Afar, Mevi Rakuvit Yerek, Umikadesh. If there's no dirt there, you can bring a rotted or decomposed vegetable, and Mimikadesh, place it into the Karka Mishkan, and then take it out in the Mikdash and take it out and use it. So now the two different girsos here, either Velohi, that's not necessarily true, Rakuvit Yerek Udabi Afar, Rakuvit Yerek mean vegetables are called Afar. Afer lo avi afar, but Afer is not called afar. That's one possibility to read it. Rashi actually takes out the lohi in the girsa. And by taking out the lohi in the girsa, Rashi just continues to read the phrase that may be rakuvit yarku mikadesh, and that the Gemara without the lohi, rakuvit yarku davi afar,
Efer lo havi afar, and that'll be the conclusion of the Gemara. That's the way the Tosfos Shas reads it. Rashi lenetiv lohi, because when the Gemara comes to make a tashma, it's making a statement that's not going to be undermined after that. And therefore, Rashi eliminates Lohi. I think there's another possibility of reading the Gemara is that Rashi is actually doing it bitmiya, which means that maybe Rekuvit Yerachu Mekadesh. Rekuvit Yerachu Davi Afar? Efer Lo Havi Afar? And if you leave out Lohi, it might be that the Gemara is saying, oh, is Rekuvit Yerach the only thing that's called Afar? Maybe possibly Efer is also called Afar. In that case, Efer would be included. Although the first two readings that we had, one with Lohi in, and the way the Tosfos Shas reads the Rashi, the conclusion of the Gemara is that Rakruvit Yerach is a afar, but Efer could be used. Right, next Gemara, Kadesh Yireh Al Hamayim. You have to put enough afar silta into the mixture in order that the afar will be visible on the top of the mayim. Tana Rabbanan. Shlosha Tzrichim Shiru. There are three places where you have a solution that's being made, and in that solution, the item that's being placed in must be visible. One is afar silta, that's our case here. When you place the afar into the water, it must be visible. Ve'efer para, the fire, the ashes of the para that are put into the mayim chayim al keli, they have to be visible in the water. Ve'rok yivama, and the spit of the yivama, because it says there, ve'ne'az kenim, that the kenim must see the spit that the choletz is doing when he does chalitza. Now, Mishum Ravishmal Amu Aftam Tzipor. Even in the blood of the Tzipor, what's the Tzipor here? It's of the Mitzorah. The Tzipor Mitzorah, he brings two birds, then he sets one bird free, and he shechs the other bird, and that blood goes into the Mayim, into the water that he brings, the spring water that he brings, and then he dips the Azov, the Selat Shani, and the Agudat Azov into that, and sprinkles on himself. That dam of the Tzipor that goes into the water, it has to be visible as well. My time with Rabbi Shmuel. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Shmuel that you have to have the dam binikar? You have to dip it in the dam etzipor of etanya. Badam. Since you have to put in the dam yochol badam below b'mayim, you think you would have to dip these items in the blood and not in the water and then sprinkle on him. Tamalomer b'mayim. It says you have to do it in the water. In b'mayim yochol b'mayim below badam. If it talks about they put it down, you have to put it in the water as well. If he has to put in the water, maybe put in the water and not in the dam. Tamal amar v'dam. So it says dam and mayim. What is it? Hakeitzim. Maybe mayim shadam tzipor nikar behem. You have a mixture, a solution that has water with the dam that is visible in them. Bekamal. How much water can you take in order to have the dam tzipor still be visible? It reviz. So if you have a reviz of water, the dam will be nikar behem. Rabbanan hahu the gufeid. Rabbanan need the dam and the mayim for gufeid. Achi kamar rachman. Atil b'dam uba mayim. That you have to actually dip it into the blood and the water. So Rabbi Shmuel, imkein lefto rachmanam taval behem. You could have just said it in plural, taval behem, right? Then you would have known to put it in the dam and the water. But dam amayim, when it specifies dam and mayim, normally, the nikar, the teacher said it is visible, that the blood must be visible in the mayim. Rabbanan, ikar da rachmanam taval behem, havamina hailuchudei, behailuchudei. If it had just written behem, I would say dip it in one, dip it in the other. To teach you that you have to actually mix them together and dip them in a single dip to get them. That's what the Dhamma of the Mayim teaches you. Rabbi Shmuel Arban. What about Rabbi Shmuel? What does he know that I have to mix the Dhamma of the Mayim together? That you shech the Tzipor Achat on top of the Mayim, on top of the Kli with the Mayim. Obviously, if you shech on top of the Kli with the Mayim, that they're going to be mixed together. The Gemara says, no, Rabbanan, however, if you had that pasuk, I would have thought, l'shchat ve'samach l'mana. You're right, you have to shech the bird over the mana, but you don't have to let the blood go in there. V'nechzino l'vradim, you'll hold the arteries of the veins, v'lekabalei l'dam b'manachrin, and then you'll take the bird over to another utensil, and you'll dump it in there, and then you'll have dam and mayim. You also be mekayim the pasuk, v'shchat ve'tzipor. Kamash malon, that when it says, v'lekach v'dam b'mamayim, that you actually have to mix them together. So therefore, they don't have the extra words of Dhamma Mayim there, and since they don't have those extra words, they don't have the limud that the Dham has to be Nikar in the Mayim. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel does, has it that he has to have the Dham Nikar b'mayim. What does it mean? Now, we'll finish up the Gemara, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Tosus and the Rabbi Kibbe Eger here. Vayimini Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbi Zera, Gdola umadechet et amayim, ktanam nitchet min yamayim mau. Meaning that if you said over here that Rabbi Yirmiyah was sufficient, how do you know what size the bird is? Why is the Revius HaMayim always sufficient? Maybe you have a big bird, and it'll be so much blood that the water won't be necessarily visible anymore. Or you'll have such a small bird that the water will overwhelm the blood. So how could it be that you set a single standard of mice? So Malay said back to Mavamila Chalos, you could not shake the bar mechilkasa.
don't question the shiurim of the chachamim. When the chachamim put their shiur together, they understood this issue, and therefore they made the shiur that wouldn't be a problem. The tzipor drawer shiur rabbanon, the tzipor drawer, which is what is used for the mitzvah shiur rabbanon, in lachagdola shmedeket amayim, in lachagtanish nitzchem amayim. The size range of a tzipor drawer will never either overwhelm the water or be overwhelmed by the water, because a revias mayim will always be sufficient for that size of bird. Now, the Tosfos over here asks, what do you mean? Why is it you need a revias mayim and that you can have in order for the blood to be nikar? We see in mikvos and other places that even smaller amounts of wine and other items that go into a mikvah are visible even in much larger quantities of water. So why is revias mayim that qualifies the amount of water that you need over here? So Tosfos says it must be over here that the case of the nikar b'mayim is not simply that it's mareh, that it's just visible, meaning that you can see it, you can see the coloring of it, but rather it has to be mamashut. It actually has to be physically there. It has to be be'en, so that you, when you use revias mayim, there's enough blood there that not only is it color the water, but it also is physically there. And when it's physically there, that helps you, even though it's min shelo b'mino, and it should be nizbatel, right? So that since there's more water than the dam, it should overwhelm the dam, even nizbatel. But now, because there's enough blood that is there and it's visible, then it's not nitbatel, it's not batel to the water. Now, the Shas over on this, he says, well, what about the Rabbanon? They require heker dam, and if we hold in general what that the dam is nitbatel b'mayim because it's min she'en u'mino, then even according to the Rabbanon, you need enough blood so that it will not be nitbatel. And even Rabbi Shmo, why does he need a special pasuk to teach you that you need enough blood? I mean, just because of dine bitol, it should be enough. Based on the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Kiva Eger says no, because here we're dealing with min she'enu mino, and min she'enu mino, maybe mizbatr misamach, if it's under 60 times, then maybe there's a shame damalav. So now we don't use the din of batel berov, because it's min she'enu mino, and therefore we use batel b'shishim, and batel b'shishim will not overwhelm the dam here. So the dam will still be nikar, even though there's a lot more water than there is dam, and it will not be nizbatel. So then, that's why Rabbi Shmuel has a special limud to teach you that you need dam nikar. Not only do you need it that it's not nizbatel the dam, like the chachamim, but Rabbi Shmuel needs a special pasuk to teach you that it's dam b'mashuto nikar, that it's actually the end there, and therefore it overcomes the problem of bitul. All right, now the Gemara continues. Tarabana, hikti mafar l'mayim pasul, Rabbi Shmuel makshir. If you put in the afar before the water, pasul. Rabbi Shimon says it's okay. Mari tamid Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon believe that it's okay when you put in the afar suta before you put in the mayim? Dichtiv lachul etamei me'afar tzrifat achatat. Right? It says by the paraduma that you take from the afar tzrifat achatat. V'tanya, Rabbi Shimon, v'chi afar hu? Halo efer hu? Why are you calling it afar? Isn't it efer? Shina katub v'mashmol ladun emeno gezer shava. That's a gezer shava. Never kan afar v'never lahan afar. Just like it says by the paraduma afar, so too by the afar sota, it says afar. Malahalan afar agabi mayim. Right? So by sota, it's obvious that the afar must go onto the mayim, because that's what the pasuk says, that he takes the natana afar ela mayim, that he places the afar into the water. Whereas by the para, what does it say? By the para, it says that it sounds like the afar can go in first. So malahalan afar agabi mayim afkan afar agabi mayim. Just like by sota you put in the dirt on top of the water, so too by paraduma you put the afar or the afer or the ashes on top of the water. Umakan by paraduma hiktim afar mayim kasher. If you put in the ashes first and then the water on top, it's kasher. Afahalan also by sota hiktim afar mayim. If you put in the dirt before the water, kasher. So my wife never hasa minalan. How do you know by paraduma that it's kosher when you put in the afar before you put in the mayim? So he says, trade correct, Tibet. There are two psukim in the dinim of paraduma. It says, ktiba lav, which is mashma alpha alma efer veresha, that you put the water on top of the efer apara. So it sounds like first the efer goes in and then the water. Uchtiv, mayim chayim el keli. It says that you have to draw out spring water that goes into the kli. So it sounds like the mayim is what goes into the kli first. I mean, it's to the kli and nothing else. Alma mayim bereisha. Okay, it said, what's the zenotain? What's the zenotain? It's up to you. You can pick which one goes first. And the Rabbanon by paraduma say it doesn't work. What do they say? El keli dafka. And when it says el keli, that means the water's gone first. That's dafka. Alav, what does alav teach you? Larvan, that you have to mix them up into a solution.
Gemara says, well, why not do the other way around? Zema lav dafka, say that lav is dafka, and keli, that should take you through the time to cleave. That you actually have to take the vessel in which you have the first rifa to fire and collect the mayim chayim to get the spring water. Now that you can bring the spring water in a different cleave. Gemara says, Ramatina b'chol makom makshir l'malo. Like we find in other instances that the makshir is the malo, like by afar sota, where the afar has to be above the water, and by dam sipor of the mitzorah, where the water is below and the blood is on top, afkan makshir the malo. So too over here, the makshir is the malo. The makshir is the malo means you need the efera para on top. If you need the efera para on top, then that's dafka. Mayim chayim el keli is dafka, and Allah comes to teach you that you have to mix them. And if by para duma there's a requirement that the efer must be on top, then so too by afar sota there's a requirement that the afar must be on top, and then the evet, it won't be kosher according to the rabbanan. Suppose the Rabbi Shimon who believes by efer para you have the choice of which one to put in first, and since you have a choice by para duma, that's going to influence afar sota from the gezeirah shavah and tell us that by afar sota also, even though you're supposed to put the mayim in first and the afar on top, the evet, if you did the other way, that it's kosher. We'll stop here.